Father, as we open our hearts, our minds to you, to your Spirit, we pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us this morning, that our lives may be transformed because of what you are doing in us today. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to follow you. We want to be your disciples, be your sheep. So speak through me as well today, Lord. And the things that I say that are from you, then please help us to remember. But if they're just from me, Lord, please help us to forget them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. What I want us to look at this morning, in the time I have left to me, it's good, I've got a good amount of time. Thank you very much for agreeing to mess around with the running order, because I've got to dash off and do a thing down at St. Peter's. What I'm looking at this morning is I want us to think about Jesus speaking to us, listening to Jesus. As I was walking through the countryside last weekend, I had a great time, and I will show you a picture of it in a minute, not just yet, but you will see a picture of me walking in the countryside. And I was admiring God's creation. And I believe that God speaks to us sometimes through creation, does he not? Yeah? When you can see the beauty of the countryside, when you can see the trees. Is it me? Am I there? Okay. God speaks to us through the whole of creation. And the scripture points us to Jesus. The scriptures, as we study them, as we read them, as we look at them, enable us to hear as well what God is saying to us and point us to Jesus. His church, the people around us who know and love God, they too point us to Jesus and allow us to hear what God is saying to us as we share with one another. And even people who don't go to church, people who we meet on the bus, people who we see in the shop queue, people who we see in classrooms and in work environments and in offices. Sometimes God uses them and says things to us, and we need to be tuned in to what he's saying, so we can hear what God is saying to us. And as a church, we, all of us, need to hear what God is saying to us at the moment as we think and reflect about where we're going. And my prayer for us this morning is that we will hear what God is saying to us. I want to dive into a passage of scripture. Hopefully it will come up in a moment. But I'm going to read to you some words from John's Gospel and chapter 10. Very familiar words, I'm sure. Jesus talking about sheep. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. They follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I'll tell you the truth. I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who came in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming, and will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. And just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Now I have other sheep too that are not in a sheepfold, and I must bring them also. And they too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is the word of the Lord. And in good Anglican manner, I say, thanks be to God. I do, because I'm dyed in the wool. That's a sheep analogy, by the way. Yeah, it's good. Did you get that? Yay! Sorry, that was a bit... So you get fiddling. Do any of you looked after sheep at all? Any of you looked after sheep? Do you know anything about sheep? Goats? They're nice to eat, yeah. We had a nice bit of sheep at the Passover supper, did we not? Yeah. Lamb. We did. It was a nice bit of sheep. Well, it was a nice bit. It tasted very nice if you're not a vegetarian. Yeah. And even if you are, it still tasted nice. Yeah. Scripture has a lot to say about sheep. So I'm going to share some of those ideas about sheep with you this morning, because this whole passage, Jesus talks about how the sheep listen to him. Now, I've been around sheep quite a lot. I've worked in the countryside a lot. And sheep are prone to wander. Yeah? Okay? If you've ever been, I used to live on Exmoor, and sheep just get everywhere. In the Forest of Dean, sheep get everywhere. They on the road, on the side of the road, on the road again, and again, you know, walking across the road backwards and forwards, and you drive up, and you wait, and you hoot, and they look at you, and then go back to nibbling the grass on the side of the road. And they just do their own thing. They couldn't care. They just wander. They generally stick together. Sheep kind of mostly move around in flocks. They like to be together. Occasionally one will wander off. And Jesus made a big point about the one that wanders off, didn't he? And the lost sheep, they will try to eat in places where they think the grass might be good, which might be under a bush or down a crevice or somewhere else, and they will kind of a lot because they are missing the rest of the flock. They like to be together. They won't check where they're going. They don't look ahead. They just kind of like just wander, and they just go and, oh, there's a bit of grass, I'll stop and eat that, and then they move on a bit, and they don't think about, you know, is it a well-worn path, or, you know, can I get off this rocky crag once I'm on it? They just kind of go, woo. They are very timid, all right? If something appears that they don't know anything about, or they're not sure that they know anything about, they will just kind of like up and move. They're quite fearful. You will never find a sheep. If you see a sheep sitting down or lying down, they don't sit down, they lie down. Generally, it's because they are actually content where they are and they're not afraid. The moment anything spooks them, they will up and move. They get hungry and thirsty, just like anybody else. They like to eat lots. They eat kind of fairly constantly. And they're stubborn. If they've decided that they want to go or not go somewhere, it's quite a challenge to get them to go anywhere different than where they need to go. They also get quite messy. Unlike some animals which groom themselves, sheep don't, and they get things caught in their fur, their coats. They get twigs and brambles and bits of barbed wire and anything else, and they will wander around quite happily eating with dragging stuff along behind them caught in their coats. And shepherds need to actually clean sheep quite regularly. They also need to be dipped to get rid of parasites and bugs which actually live in the coat and can make life very unpleasant for the sheep. And they're utterly defenseless. Even the rams they fancy themselves, but they're not actually much cop against pretty much anything. My parents used to look after boarding kennels. We had at one point we had 40 Alsatians. Yes, I know. Don't. And three of them got out and harassed a field of sheep and had to be put down, which is awful. But they just had no idea what to do. This flock of sheep, even though they're all mature sheep, a couple of dogs, and they're completely useless. There's a great Christian author called Philip Keller, who wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Let me read to you a little bit from that book. He writes, "It's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep," given what I've just told you about sheep. "The behavior of sheep and human beings are very similar. Our mass mind or mob instinct, our fears, our timidity, our stubbornness, our stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. And the strange thing about sheep is because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to lie down. So they only actually do it if they're feeling safe. In fact, if you ever find a sheep on its back, go and help it to stand up, because a sheep cannot, once it is on its back, actually stand upright again. Did you know that? Yeah? You can't, a sheep, once its legs are off the ground, it cannot stand up again. It can't fold its legs underneath it and roll, because the legs haven't got that amount of movement. Unlike, I was in a field with some sheep, and I watched, there was a horse there as well, and the horse was having a whale of a time rolling on its back. You know, I'm not going to get on the floor and do that. Okay, waggling its legs in the air and itching as horses do. And there was a bunch of sheep. And I just thought, what a contrast, because this horse was quite happily rolling around and then it got back on its feet again and it wandered off somewhere else and then got back on the ground and rolled a bit more. And the sheep were going, because they can't do it. They just can't do it. They cannot get, once a sheep is on its back, it's stuck. It will actually starve to death. Yeah, so if you ever are driving around and you see a sheep on its back, stop and put it back on its feet again, because it won't run away from you because it can't get up. Yeah, okay, be careful. But actually, literally, a sheep will starve to death if it's on its back. Not if you're a vegetarian. Okay. Even if a sheep is got parasites or fleas or ticks or anything like that, they won't lie down because they're not happy. Okay, they will only lie down if they are free of any fears, any pests, and if they're not hungry. They'll continue to eat even if they're not hungry, but they have to be. If a sheep's lying down, it means it's actually eaten enough to be going on with. It might still nibble a bit, but it's not actually hungry. They must be free from any distraction before a sheep lie down. And they're notorious creatures of habit. If they will follow the same route, even if it's a fairly winding route, over and over again, until they become ruts. Okay, they don't think, I'm going to follow a path. They move in a direction and create a path. Yeah, but they will keep moving in that direction and keep creating the path. Even though it's not they don't actually say, oh, here's a path, I'll follow it. They just have a path that they go on and do it over and over again. It's the old Einstein thing, isn't it? You kind of like, you keep doing the same thing, hoping that you'll get something different. See, definition of stupidity? Yeah, is repeating the same action over and over again, hoping for a different result. Yes? Okay, and that's the sheep. They keep doing the same route over and over again, even if they've grazed it to death. They will keep walking on the same route because that's their route, and they don't do any different. A commonly held misconception is the sheep can get along anywhere, even on the side of mountains or what have you. It's just not true. A sheep, once they've actually worked out the route that they're going to go, they will continue on it whether there's food on it or not. Yeah. And they are probably the livestock that require the most careful handling and most detailed direction. Does this sound familiar? Yeah? Yeah, it's us, isn't it? It's us. The most careful handling. Oh, I've got to be careful now. Okay. I want to actually just focus in on Jesus and his I am statements. I am the gate for the sheep. Do you want to pull up that first picture for me? I am the gate for the sheep. As I was Googling and looking through, if we, in a moment, you'll hopefully see a picture. No, not that one. That's the shepherd. Oh, maybe not. That one. Okay, this is an Israeli sheepfold. All right, have you ever seen? Okay, interesting. Note the lack of gate. Okay, no gate. And that's purposeful. Could we have the next one? There is the gate. This is a drawing of a sheepfold. But you can see here, can you see the shepherd sitting in the gate? Yeah. And then the next one, you can see Bethlehem, you know, an Israeli shepherd. Keep going. Third one, the one you said at the beginning. That one. There we are. Not. That was me on my walk. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? The lambs had just literally came up. I was just standing there and it went, shoo! And I thought, oh. Yeah. It was amazing. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. They must have felt very content, but also lambs are like children. They've got no, they don't seem to have the same fear that the grown-ups do. Israeli shepherds wandered around the hills with their sheep. You can go, but that's all right, you can lose that one now. Israeli shepherds wander around the hills with their sheep. They know where the grass is good and they lead the sheep to the grass. But they're not always there. After spending weeks traveling in the wilderness, they will come back into the town for some rest and refreshment, and they will put their sheep into a corral, of a community corral, where there will be lots of sheep. And there will be hired helpers who will then look after the sheep in that corral. Andrew, have you ever been a shepherd? Yeah. Not of actual sheep. Okay, only of children. Yeah, yeah. That's all right, just checking. I'm just talking through the back of my neck here, and I just would want to make sure that nobody else knows that I'm telling a load of rubbish. Okay, so they will go into a town, they will put their sheep into a big corral in the town with a load of other sheep, and there will be a hired guard to keep an eye on the sheep, of everybody's sheep, while the shepherd goes off and does whatever a shepherd needs to do while he's in town, like buy some food or have some sleep in a decent bed or, you know, do whatever he needs to do. And then when he's finished in the town, he will appear at the corral and he will call his sheep by name. And his sheep will come with him, and those who aren't his sheep stay where they are. Have you heard this before somewhere? It's in the Bible, isn't it? You know, a hired worker doesn't know the sheep, but the shepherd, the sheep, will hear his voice and they will follow him. And they will go back out onto the hills, and they will come to one of those corrals that I showed you about, and overnight he will put the sheep into one of those corrals, and then the shepherd will lie down in the gate, and the sheep can't get out unless they actually climb over him, which hopefully would wake him up, and the bad stuff can't get in because they'd have to also climb over him in order to get in. That particular artist's idea of what a corral might look like did have a couple of bars over the top to stop the sheep jumping. Okay, the idea is that they weren't actually going to jump over the shepherd, even if they saw some grass that they liked on the other side, because hopefully those bars would then stop them. So Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." But what is a good shepherd? And if we are thinking about listening to Jesus, I've given you lots of background information about sheep, but let's reflect on that for a moment. He functions as a gate, all right? Nothing can get to us except through Jesus. All right? If you are a Christian here this morning, you need to feel secure that actually you cannot be attacked unless whatever is attacking you has first gone through Jesus. Okay? So when you think about, oh, I'm under attack, are you with Jesus? Okay? You cannot, if you are with Jesus, then you are not being attacked. Well, at least only in as much as you're in the middle of a battle and actually Jesus is there fighting with you. Yeah? Jesus will not let anything destroy you because he is there in the gate protecting you. Let's think about Psalm 23 for a minute. He leads us beside still waters into green pastures. We all need to be fed, and not just physically. We're all good at that. We can do that ourselves pretty much, can't we? Okay. Spiritually is another matter. We, as spiritual people, often, as church people, often come reliant on this thing to actually give us what we need. Yeah, you come here I am, talking at you. Yeah, okay. And you are feeding, hopefully, from something God is saying through me. Can I suggest that's not a particularly healthy way of doing it? All right. While you are relying on me, you're assuming that what I'm teaching you is good. Hopefully, it's okay. And it means that you become dependent on your feeding because you're doing it through me. Can I suggest a better person to be dependent upon is Jesus and not me? What I want to do is point you away from me and to Jesus so that as you go back out into the world, Jesus is going to go with you, I'm not. Yeah? When you're looking at scripture, when you're praying, when you're studying, when you're doing whatever it is you do in your everyday life, Jesus is going to be there with you, I'm not. And even though you are here this morning hearing what I am saying to you, I'm telling you actually what you need is Jesus and not me. You don't need Mark. You don't need Helen. You don't need Katie. You need Jesus. Okay? So make sure that actually everything you do is actually about your relationship with Jesus and not actually just about me telling you what to think from the front. And if you think, hang on, that's you're telling us what to think from the front, not telling us what to think. Oh, don't worry about it. Being a sheep following a shepherd will often require you to go into the wilderness. Okay? So being a sheep following a shepherd means that you're not going to spend your whole life in a corral, as we are at the moment. Think of this as the corral. Yeah? But you are going to be most of your Christian life out there. And some of that is going to be wilderness. Yeah? Matter of fact, quite a lot of it might be wilderness. You might be in a really difficult place in your life. You might be being challenged. You might be being hurt. You might be in difficult relationships or a place that you feel really under attack. If you follow Jesus, you will go into the wilderness. But you will go into the wilderness with Jesus. He will lead you to where you need to go. He will take you to places where you will be fed. Sometimes it may take a little while to get there. This is my 7th parish that I've been the vicar of. Not the seventh job. Not the 7th parish, because some of my jobs had 12 parishes. Yeah? Okay? So this isn't the, you know, I've lost count of how many parishes I've actually had responsibility for. But it's taken me a long time to get here, is what I'm saying. And some of those have been pretty rough places. And I think I'm in pretty good place at the moment. Okay? I think I'm in a well-watered garden where the feeding is good. But I've had to go through some rough places to get there, and hopefully I've kept my eyes on Jesus for most of that, though I know that there are some times when I haven't. And I've wandered off and got stuck in brambles and been attacked in all sorts of ways when I've taken my eyes off Jesus, that, and I've needed to come back to him over and over again to find the right path. But Jesus knows what I am like. He knows me personally, he knows me intimately, and he knows you. He knows your name. And the longer you spend with him, the more you will recognize the sound of his voice and the way that he talks to you. And so that as you follow him, you will hear what he is saying to you. And it will become not always easier, because sometimes, unlike sheep, because the sheep analogy only goes so far, he actually says, okay, now you need to do this for yourself, just like he did with the disciples. He did some miracles with them. He did taught them how to pray. He taught them how to do things. And then he sent the 70 off to go and do it for themselves. And at that point, he was physically there. And he couldn't go with each of the 70 to go and be with them other than in a kind of spiritual sense. But now he's in heaven, he can be with us in whatever we're doing as we go out. But let's come back to the sheep for a minute. A good shepherd will not abandon us. If you ever think that somehow you've done something so awful that God can never forgive you, I'm going to use a nasty word now. Crap. Okay? Utter rubbish. You can never, ever do anything so bad that God will abandon you. All right? He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. He died on your behalf. He's not going to turn around and walk away from you just because you did something stupid. He loves you. A good shepherd is there for his sheep. You cannot go so far from God. Just read Psalm 139. All right? Read Psalm 139. You know, even it says, if you're buried in the grave, I will not abandon you. Yeah? If I go as far from, you know, think of Jonah jumping on his ship, going completely the wrong direction. Okay, he had to go through a bit of wilderness to get back, actually, well, inside of a fish, but, you know, that's another story. Even if you try to run away from God, he's not going to disappear. He'll just be there when you turn around. Oh, you're still here? He's right there. But what does he want for you? If he's a good shepherd, what is it that he would like for you? And it's interesting that immediately after, in John 10:10, it says, a thief's purpose is to kill and destroy. That's what the thief wants to do with the sheep. My purpose is to give you life in all its fullness, life abundantly. Are we believing that God is giving us a fullness of life? Jesus kind of wants us to have overflowing life. Okay? Life in all its fullness. Life more than we've ever experienced it before. A surplus of life. If it's overflowing, there are bits you don't need, aren't there? You personally, life that overflows into others, abundant life. Even in the midst of traveling in the wilderness, Jesus wants us to have abundant life. So, okay, so Jesus has got all this stuff he wants to do for us. What do we have to do for him? What is the responsibility of a sheep? Thank you. To follow. Yeah? But how do we know? The only way we can follow is that if we keep listening to him. Yeah? If we get distracted, and it is easy to get distracted. There is a lot of stuff happening in our lives and in the world that can actually take us away from following Jesus. I generically call it stuff. Okay, you've probably heard me talk about stuff before. But you can think of what your own stuff might be. It might be something like this. Yeah? Technology. Just think how much time maybe you spend messing around with technology at the moment, whether it's your phone, your Kindle, yeah, your iPad, your computer, and you just sit there and you do stuff just because you can. Yeah? Facebook, FaceTime, television. How do we prioritize our life? If we are going to hear his voice, let me tell you a story. I love this story. This is a friend of mine who was a vicar in a previous parish. He had four children, all of whom were adopted, and two of them were special needs. And Matty was about eight, and he was a handful. He was a really challenging young lad. He only had a mental age of about five, and he probably wasn't going to get much brighter, as it were, or very, very slowly. He just was full of life, but kind of easily distracted. And he loved his dad's iPad. And one day, he learned how to take photographs with it. And he would go round, and he'd be doing, because it went, you know, when you've got the sound on, he goes, every time you do it. And he'd go around going, he had no idea what he was doing. He just wandered around going, and he liked the noise. When he pushed the button, it went, and he spent about an hour. Can you imagine how many photographs of the ground that was? Yeah, or, you know, people's hand, or a leg somewhere, or just a door, or a thing. Yeah, and he filled up 120 gigabytes with photographs. Yeah, and when his dad had to go off to a meeting, he said, "Oh, Matty, could I have my iPad back now?" So he got the iPad, and then he tried to load the documents that he was going, and it didn't happen. And he realized after a bit that Matty had filled up the whole of this iPad's memory with photographs. Okay, I mean, there must have been, you know, getting on for tens of thousands of photographs of the ground. As Matty had gone, and he just couldn't do anything because the whole of the iPad was filled with stuff. And our lives are like that. We fill our lives with stuff, so much so that we actually can't do what we were designed to do, to be. We can't be a tool in God's hands that is actually functional and does the things that God wants us to do, because we fill our lives up with so much stuff. We get distracted from the things of God by the world. The key to having a surplus of life is to listen to Jesus and to empty our lives of the things that actually are not of Jesus. Sometimes it's the voices from our culture surrounding us telling us what to think. Sometimes it's internal, springing from our own insecurities about who we are and our upbringing and our life situation and just the fact that we don't think very much of ourselves. Our anxieties, our pride, maybe our desire to be self-sufficient. I spent a long time wrestling with that one, believing that I could do it myself. Particularly as a teenager, I found that actually what I wanted to do more than anything else is to be independent of my parents and to do it myself. I wanted to be in charge of my own life. And that was a complete, the fact that I wanted to be independent of my parents and be in charge of my own life meant that what happened was at the same time I became independent of God and in charge of my own life. Can you see how easy it is to do that one? Yeah? That actually, if you want to be independent of God, to do your own thing, that is kind of, it strikes me as being, there is a classic song, and the name of a singer will come back to me in a moment, but it is the most anti-Christian song in the whole world. I did it my way. Sinatra, thank you. That's the name I was looking for, Frank Sinatra. I believe that that is the most anti-Christian song in the whole world. Yeah? I did it my way. Yeah? I want to follow my own route and do it for myself. Whereas Jesus says, unless you listen to my voice and follow me, you will not have life. It's as simple as that. It's as simple and as subtle as that. The busyness of life overcomes and distracts us and takes away from hearing the voice of God. We are like stubborn sheep. And even though we come back over and over again, we will go off on our own track and not on God's track. And we will follow our own route until they become ruts and there's nothing left there for us to feed on because that's what we've decided to do. And we have to come back and listen to the shepherd who will call us to green pastures where we can feed and be made whole. We will follow the same ruts until they become wasteland and desert, polluting our own ground until we are corrupt with parasites and disease that even feed off us, until we hear the sound of the shepherd calling us, lost sheep, come home. I love you. I gave my life for you. Listen to me, follow me, and you will have life in all its fullness. And I will take away all the things that are destroying you and give you healing. For by my stripes you are healed. I will set you free from sin. Just listen to me, follow me. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen.